JC. Good morning, Jerry and Gerald TR. Little cloudy and overcast up here.
Rain this morning. We got about 18 inch, I think, overnight. It's more than we've gotten in a long, long time. It's still a little bit, but looks like it's going to be raining about like this all afternoon for us. Hope you're doing okay today.
Sitting here getting a little drowsy. I just finished up breakfast. Had a double yolker this morning for breakfast. I couldn't even eat it all. It was so big. Eggs, that is. And we had about an inch yesterday. And then it says today, since last night at midnight, we've had 1.73 inches. So, okay, he said the previous event was 1.39, and then we got 1.73 today. So that's really doing great. We needed that. Other than that, Bernice is over here finishing up a little bit with breakfast, and she's got a cold, unfortunately. I got a little bit of a head cold, but it's just kind of drizzly in that. I think it's going to get more wind and more rain in a little while, Jerry, from what they said.
It's like I don't know where that storm is. I haven't really been paying attention to it. We haven't had any rain, I mean, any wind at all, that I can tell. Right now, I'm just looking out the window. I don't see anything, you know, moving the branches around much. But actually, we got about 8/10. The last 24 is what it says. But we sure needed it too. We need about another inch. But this is a good kind of rain we're having now. It's just kind of drizzling and getting everything soaked in good. And it'll help our grass a little bit right before we have to stop cutting. Before we stop cutting it in late November, early December, I guess. But that pesky, it grows, it'll stay green as long as it rains and doesn't get too cold. It'll stay green for a while, but the Bermudas are already turning brown, but we just got patches of it here and there. But that's pretty much it here. It's just a drizzly day. We're going to go out in a little bit and do a little running around, I think, and maybe do a little grocery shopping today. I got a couple of things we hadn't been able to find the last couple of weeks, so maybe we'll find what was just stuff to stick back in our time.
Well, you know, Bernice was reading an article on Aldi's yesterday, and it said that, now I don't know if you have one there handy, but we go there all the time, and said that they replenish on Wednesday. And by golly, we went in there Wednesday, foreseeing the rush because of this storm, not knowing what it was going to be like. And everything was nice and fresh and stocked up. And even their prices have gotten a lot higher than they were before, but they're certainly a lot more reasonable than most other places we go. And we go to a couple other places. But, well, looking at the radar right now, Jerry, it looks like the worst of it's getting ready to move in as far as rain. But I wouldn't really call it the worst of us. They did say that we could get 35 to 45 mile an hour winds as it passed through, but I'm beginning to wonder about that. It's still a good patch of it there, just to the west of us, and there's a few pretty heavy cells embedded in the in just the light and dark green. There's a line of heavy cells that are not too far from us right now, pretty close, matter of fact, when I zoom in on it here.
But as I said, not much, because we just hadn't had about pretty rain a little bit this morning, maybe about 4 or 5, but it didn't get, you know, I didn't hear any wind or anything like that. I can usually hear it on the big window out there in the bedroom. We've got two windows up there with our architectural half went up above it, like a man, so we got a lot of space there, but the triple panes is pretty quiet. You don't usually hear anything unless it gets real noisy outside, rain or wind has to be pretty hard to see anything, I mean to hear anything like that enough to wake up. But, as I said, I'm hoping it's going to continue for a little while. I think it's going to get a lot colder next week. I think tomorrow is supposed to, they're saying the high tomorrow here is supposed to be around 70. And partly sunny, and I think Sunday is supposed to cool off. You know, get a bit even heard a little freezing rain maybe Monday or Tuesday. I don't know if that's in the... I was listening to NOAA, weather forecast on the radio a little bit earlier. At least that's what they were, the implications of that might be up in, towards North Carolina, maybe. I don't know.
CR, within 4DJC. Yeah, Jerry, sounds about right. I'm expecting a call back from the Anderson podiatry place there. And I hope I don't have to drive through anything like that. They get slick, but, I don't even want to go into it, but the shoes ain't right, the orthotics aren't right, and I wear a B width and they give me a D width. It makes a lot of sense, and the inserts they made look like something from Walmart, so we'll have to see what they say, but, it just ain't gonna work out. This getting old stuff ain't for sissies, is it, Jerry?
Is there a TRM4DJC? It sure is. We were talking yesterday. My wife went into the doctor yesterday. Everything came out fine. Her high blood work was good. So, yes, just one thing right after another, it seemed. But she didn't have to take much in the way of medication. I had to take a good bit more. My bag was probably a little bit just more, but I think it just twisted around when I was getting out of bed maybe this morning. But I felt pretty decent last week or so. Still, the allergies kind of flared back up on me. I was mold or what, but something gave me a little bit of a fit the other day. It might have been being out in the wind, all the dust and other stuff that's whirling around out there too, I guess. But I've been taking the nasal spray, steroid, and also the Aspirin, which is, I don't know if it's correct pronunciation, but it's a spray antihistamine, and it's one of the new generation things. It's pretty expensive, but I can take a shot of each in each nostril. It's not steroid either. It doesn't have any alcohol in it. And it works immediately, unlike the others where you have to, take it for a week or so before you can see any progress. And I think it's helped me some anyway, not a lot, but anything's better than nothing.
Yeah, I'm stopped up some, but not bad. I just take that Mucilex. Need to go get some more of that. Well, that heavy cell just materialized more, and it's getting ready to move in, by golly. Oh, I went down to the radio room last night late, and I worked a couple of stations just for the heck of it. They're usually really, really staticky when it get a lot of rain like this, and they were. But I talked to a guy in Albania for a while on sideband, and he was really nice. And then I talked to a fellow named Christian in Germany for a little while on 40 meters, and it was really rough going. I had a hard time pulling him out, but I didn't see much on CW, so I just went up to sideband just for the fun of it, and he seemed very appreciative of it, but it was horrible static in there last night. But I was surprised to see anything. I thought, I don't usually unground everything and turn it on if the weather's bad. and that's funny, KI4 DOS, he never unplugs his, but I do. And it's just a matter of choice. If you get a close enough hit, well, that ain't going to matter anyways, Only the good Lord controls that, Jerry.
I had a TV, it's been years ago. We went out to, I don't know whether we were still on a antenna on cable back then, but it's been close to 40 years ago. We unplugged it, disconnected it, and it still jumped 2 feet and got and fried the TV. And all where it came, it didn't do anything inside the house. It was just enough to nail the TV. We were lucky, I guess, because that's all it did. But I know my grandmother years ago, she was always scared to death of lightning and thunderstorms. My aunt was there. She was staying with my aunt in Atlanta. She'd lived with us for years. She was staying out there with her other daughter, one of her three daughters, and my cousin out there. She came in the house one time. It'd been raining. Had some light out there. He wondered where they were. And he looked in, and they were the maid and my grandmother, my aunt, all in the closet huddled together, and had taken a phone off the hook too. But he said, "What are y'all doing?" And I said, "We don't want to get struck by lightning." And what had happened years ago, I think, that it had run in on my grandmother. It knocked the phone out of her hand or something. So she didn't take any chances from then on, Tom.
Send-year-old T.R. Well, Jerry, Bernice's sister, years and years ago, was on the phone. Oh, it would have been back in the early 70s, I think. And they were out on the farm. Of course, they had a party line. And the lightning come in and hit her in the chin and knocked her unconscious, but it didn't kill her. And that was a bad one. And then my friend N0IGZ was sitting in his radio room down in Galena, and the lightning hit near his, he made his own 6-meter beams and that. Anyways, it come in through that, and he had an Alliance rotator sitting there just above his head, and it, Frank said it was like a hand grenade was inside of it, and it just fragmentated it. That put some wind in your sails, or take the wind out of your sails, I mean.
Years, this is back in the 40s, I guess, is that when they were still using those old backlight phones, and that backlight might have been what saved her. I don't know, but that's what she said. Now, whether that's actually the case or not, whether that actually happened or not, is up for speculation. But anyway, so if it started light, she would not get on the phone. She would not answer the phone or anything. So it either happened or she thought it happened, one or the other.
Well, Bakelite was an electrician's friend at times, and if you got into a big, huge electrical panel or something, and with a lot of relaying, and you was having a difficult time back in the old days, if Bakelite gets hot, man, does it stink. I mean, it's like rotten egg solution, and you could, I had a buddy who's a big Italian fella. And if I had a relay go out in the French Berthier mill, usually it would be a coil. And you couldn't buy them anymore. We had to have them hand-wound down at the armature works in the south part of town. But old John, he could smell them out before you ever found them with a meter, Jerry.
I understand. I know my son-in-law's dad worked for Westinghouse for years and years and years. He was, what he did, they sent him to India. He worked down some mines in India or somewhere. They were up in Pennsylvania, so he had a little bit of a mining background, too. He did some work down some of the mines with some switching systems and other stuff off and on for a number of years. I remember he was telling me about taking out all these old transformers and that sort of thing, about the, and, you know, the last 8 or 10 years, I guess, the, these custom knife makers are looking for that old micarta that came out of these old, the original Westinghouse micarta. Some of it's kind of ivory colored. Been looking for that to make knife handles out of because it looks like ivory. And it's a paper laminate. And then they look at the old, I more say it's linen, or I don't think it may be linen or light canvas. It's got that age. It's kind of ever looking. They look at that stuff all the time. And somebody found a kind of a hoard of it somewhere. It was like 5/8 inch thick, which is perfect for their uses. Now, people were selling that stuff for, you know, like a 7 by 2.5 inch slab, like $40 or $50.
Yeah, that was called synthane, Jerry, and you could buy it in different grades. Then there was another one called melamine that they made on the large circuit breakers. The first year I worked, an electrical apparatus sales at a mine power company in the armature works, and they used a lot of melamine, but it was kind of reddish in color, but the zinc thing could be pretty. But boy, when you ground on it, it wasn't pretty. It stunk also, kind of like Bakelite.
Well, it used to be Clark's Rubble plant here in Anderson. It was part of Lois' scene, and they sold it off, and it's been sold several times, and I think it's part of JPS Composites or something like that. They were fiberglass over there for circuit boards, and it was the only money maker that Lowenstein owned out of all the plants they had. They made most of their profit off that one location, and they sold it off, and then some of the management people there got financial backing or something, bought that plant, and there were a lot of guys that I worked with at Springs that moved over there, and they all kind of had a hand in it. When they sold it to another company at some point in time, I think it's part of Hexcel Corporation, it may still be, but they sold it back to some other company, and those guys made millions and millions of dollars, and they gave the employees, you know, like big bonuses and that sort of thing, and kind of shared in what they made. But one of the guys I know, he's probably 10 years younger than I am, he put a big stake in it, and I mean, it made him a multimillionaire, just, you know, because I think they bought it for like, I don't know, maybe $25, $30 million. I think they sold that thing for $140, $150 million.
Yeah, I wish I had some of that Zen thing from time to time. It's really got a great high dielectric strength to it. And it can be used for a lot of things, but I haven't seen any in years.
Most of it's been scooped up by people. I've seen all kinds of things made from it. And again, because it's easy to machine, it's easy to sand, it's just resin, and it doesn't have the. It's not quite as dangerous to grind as some of these Cocobolo and some of these exotic hardwoods, which will, you know, get in your lungs. That stuff gets in your lungs, some kind of bacteria or something that causes to have you. You know, it's almost like inhaling. Asbestos or something like that, it gets in your lungs and does a lot of damage. Plus, it gives you some type of, I can't remember the term, just some term for that where people that work with that without using dust masks or, you know, that sort of thing they get some type of disease from that, from the wood dust. But the Mike Carter brand, you know, was trademarked by Westinghouse, I guess, years ago. And their guys, they go around looking for it. They made, because, you know, a lot of people, there were a lot of companies that made machine gears, you know, that stuff, because it was quiet and, you know, didn't, you know, stuff is not anything that needs a lot of strength, anything like that. But I've seen gears made from the stuff and pulleys and all kinds of stuff. And when people find those things, they grab them up whenever they find them. But people caught on to it now, and whenever they find it, they'll have somebody, you know, somebody's got the right kind of equipment and saw it out and slab to sell it that way, make 10 times or more what they wind up having to pay, you know, what they paid for it.
So, yeah, back then it wasn't cheap by any means. It was, I don't know, $4 to $6 a pound or something, but that was a lot of money back then. But Cocobolo was a good one for knife handles, and my friend Henry was a tool grinder, and he made knives, and he'd use deer horn for them. They really made pretty knives. And he did all the heat treating and everything, and he was a trapper. And I still call him every few months, or he calls me. And he made me a squirrel knife a couple years ago. You ought to see it, Jerry. It's beautiful. It really is. It's specifically for cleaning squirrels. I told him we had a lot of squirrels down here, but I don't eat them anymore. But we did when we was up there in Kansas, but he's really a talented man. His hands are all full of arthritis now from grinding tools for so many years. So, but I have seen wings here is made out of that sin thing. And some people called it micarta, but it was sin thing.
Zero TRM 4DJC. Yeah, Tom, I think it was just the Weston Cow Supply that was had the trademark for it. And I don't know whether they still do or not. They don't call it that because they don't make. I don't think Weston House makes it anymore. I've seen stuff and pulleys made out of it, years and years ago. And the beauty of the stuff is it just machines well. It's stable. It doesn't move around like bone scales do. These jute and dyed bone scales like you see on case knives, that bone will move around in ivories the same way. Of course, it's illegal to trade in that anymore, but there's still some knives out there with ivory scales on them. And what you do is you basically have to soak the knife in mineral oil, otherwise the ivory will shrink away from the handling. You can't get anybody to repair it because you're not supposed to have any more of it. But that's the one thing about Coca Cola is real stable, and rosewood is too. And of course, they do these laminates and resin, where they put resin over it and they seal them up. Some guys are making their own micarta type materials now, where they're using all kinds of burlap. And, I don't know how they're doing it, but using burlap and resin, just laminating it like you would, laying up fiberglass for a boat or something like that, I guess. But they must have some way of compressing it, but I've seen some really weird-looking stuff. Some of it they call like rag micarta, where it's just kind of ground up, and they'll make knife scales out of that. It's a good-looking material, but it's not, it's something somebody fabricated. It's not something someone used in an industry or anything like that.
When my brother and I was deployed over to Vietnam and that, we were stationed in the Philippines, and we went out and we got a special forces, not special forces, what they call that, special something or other. Anyways, you could rent stuff on the base, and so we got a car and a driver. I don't remember what it cost here. It was something like 50 cents an hour or something. It was unbelievable. And anyways, we rode around, and he bought wood carvings a lot and brought them back. And the folks from the Philippines are just tremendously awesome in their wood working ability. And he brought that ebony stuff back, and a great deal of it just cracked.
Sure, natural materials is always shrinking in different humidity and that sort of thing. It's just not very stable. And I know some of the guys that still build furniture, they got to wait till it gets a certain percentage, dryness before they start working on it, and then they'll rehumidify it if they need to get the moisture back in it or take moisture out of it. But once it's dried pretty well, it's okay. But, over a period of 50 years, and that's what happens to this old furniture, it just, the joints get loose, it shrinks away. That's, kind of what I was telling you about the other day about using hide glue, because that's what they glued, that's what the original, these guys did back in for years, and that's all they used was hide glue, because you could disassemble it and rejoin it. Whereas if you use one of these, like Elmer's and one of these other aliphatic resins, they'll tear it so strong, it'll tear the wood away when you disassemble it, and it's just not repairable. It's kind of like the polyurethane finishes on furniture, which my wife has done several times, but in order to once you put that on, that stuff, it just gets down in the pores. You almost have to surface paint it to get it back if you want to, want to put a natural, like a varnish or tungo oil or linseed oil type finish on it.
It's kind of amazing, Jerry. Oh, shoot. Well, I got a couple of projects downstairs I'm going to go mess around with. I bought some motion-activated lights I'm going to try to find a place for. They're just little ones, but they had them over at Aldi's. Aldi's always got what I call the sucker bait aisle. just sucker people in. But you know what? They got some good buys in there. But I bought these for like $7 a piece. And I'm going to put them in some spots that you walk down in the basement that they'll come on when you walk over there without going over and turning on the fluorescent lights. They're LEDs. I sure like them ones that I put in the tool cabinets. You just open the tool cabinet up, wave your hand underneath of it, and it lights it all up. And I haven't seen those in a while, but boy, they work like clockwork.
Telling me about those. You sent me a picture of them. When we ever get our garage cleaned out, we went to them, we'll put a workbench out there and either get a tool cabinet or something out there to store some stuff in, so we can just keep it locked up and out of sight anyway. But I'm going to have to run here in just a second. I wanted to give you a holler, see if you're around this morning. Hope you have a good day the rest of it. Stay out of it as much. Again, hope Bernice gets the feeling better, and you guys have a nice day and afternoon, and maybe I'll catch you on a little bit later. In 0TRM4DJC.
Okay, Jerry. Really enjoyed it. Storms, fast moving, and they said that they can get their ball games and stuff in tonight around here, that it's going to be gone by this afternoon. It's going to move out earlier than anticipated. That heavy rain just now, like the outer bands do, it just stopped altogether, but I got my gutters cleaned out yesterday before this ever hit, or day before. And I'm sure glad that I did, because they were packed full of them maple leaves. And I called this Daisy Tree Service. They're supposed to come out and give me an estimate how much it'd take that dang maple tree out. I'm not putting up with that anymore, and I'm too old to go up on that roof. shoot. Anyways, take care, Jerry. Pleasure's all mine. 73's N4DJC in 0TR clear.